before I tear a fence down, I want to find out why he put it up. Let's all stand up and turn to the book of Matthew, chapter number 1. Matthew, chapter number 1, and verse number 21. The Gospel of Matthew, chapter 1, verse number 21. Hear the angel of the Lord speaking to Mary, and says, "She shall bring forth a son, and thou shalt call his name Jesus, for he shall save his people from their sins." Father, bless your word now. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. You can be seated. The name of Jesus, I guess about everybody in the United States has heard that name. And I'm sure in Western Europe, most of them have heard the name of Jesus. Even in the Oriental lands, a lot of people have heard the name of Jesus. Africa, and in Asia, of course, Australia, and all around the globe, the name of Jesus is still being mentioned. The name of Jesus Christ, or the Lord Jesus Christ, is the most controversial figure on earth today. No question about it. No question whatsoever. Because if you mention that name, it will, if they've heard of him, it'll bring forth a response. Now I want you to think about the fact that a man that lived 2,000 years ago, that when his name is mentioned today, that somebody's got something to say about it. I dare say, folks, that most of the presidents of the United States of America, if you started naming their names off this morning, you'd be surprised at how many people, especially that go to school today, have probably never heard of half of them. They've revised the history of this nation to the point to where our heroes that we used to have are no longer heroes. One man who was one of the heroes of our country said, "I regret that I have but one life to give for my country." You remember that? Oh, yeah. He said that. He really did. And that was a hero. Of course, he doesn't fit into history revisionism. So the name of the Lord Jesus Christ is the most controversial figure on earth today. After 2,000 years after his birth, he's still controversial. To some, he is a good man, but he's a victim. He's a harmless man who was simply caught up with his age and had a message to preach, but he just didn't make it. To some, he's an ascended master. When you mention the name of the Lord Jesus Christ, well, they'll say, "Oh yes, he was one of the avatars," or "he's an ascended master," or "he plugged into the consciousness of the universe." To some, if you mention the name of the Lord Jesus Christ, he's a great Jewish sage. Oh yes, many of the Jews will say, "Oh, he was a wonderful teacher. He was a great rabbi." And of course, that's for your consumption as a Gentile. And then there are those that say he's a total myth, that the Lord Jesus Christ never really existed. He never lived. That this is all a fabrication, that no such man ever walked the face of this earth. All I can say to someone who says that is I feel sorry for you, because every time you say that, you're showing profound ignorance. Even secular historians had much to say about this man. And then there are those that say he's an example for us to follow. You get a lot of this in liberal churches today. Oh yes, he showed us the way. He showed us how to be kind to each other and love one another. And that this man Christ Jesus is such a great example of how we ought to live our lives. And some say that he's a prophet. If you talk to the Muslim, he'll say that Jesus Christ is one of the prophets. And of course he'll say that Muhammad is the last prophet, the last and greatest of the prophets. But Jesus was a prophet, according to the Muslim. And then if you talk to a Jehovah's Witness, he'll say, "Oh yes, he is a created God." They have something to say about the Lord Jesus Christ. He is a created God, they say. But Jehovah God is the eternal being. Then there are those that say he is the Son of God. And I agree entirely with that statement that he is the Son of God. But my friend, I must go just a little bit further. And I must say that he is Almighty God. He is God Almighty. In Revelation chapter number 1 verse 8, he says, "I am the Almighty." And so my friend, it runs the gamut. It makes no difference who you talk to. Most of the time, somebody has got something to say about the Lord Jesus Christ. Let me tell you who He is to me. He is the Savior of my soul. Amen. I know whom I have believed. And I persuaded He's able to keep that which I've committed to Him against that day. He saved me and changed me completely. He's the dearest friend that I've ever had. And how do you know a friend? A friend is the one that comes around you when everybody else has left you. The friend is the one who is there when everybody else has turned their back on you. That's your friend. Not the one that tells you they're friend. My friend is the one who's there when you need them. Do you have a friend? Is there anybody in this house today that you know, regardless of what you go through, that somebody's going to stick with you? If you've got a friend, hold on to them. That's a precious thing indeed. Then He is my rock, my buckler, and my high tower. Yes, He is. I flee to Him for my strength because He's the one that gives me strength for the day. And then He is my refuge. When this whole world starts getting me down, I'll tell you the one that I flee to, and that's the Lord Jesus Christ. Amen. He's the only one that makes any sense. And I've read a lot about a lot, but the Lord Jesus Christ is absolutely the one who makes sense to me because He's God's manifestation to man. He's the one who brought the message. He not only spoke the message, He is the message of what God had to say to mankind. He's my Lord and my God, and I freely bow before Him on this day. And I say as Thomas did, my Lord and my God. I haven't put my finger in His nail prints, but they're there, my friend. Don't make no mistake about it. He's the answer to every need that I have. Not felt needs. My friend, needs that I don't even know I need. He's the answer to those needs today. Pilate said, I find no fault in Him, neither do I. Pilate was a smart man. He looked past the hypocrisy of the Jews, and he knew the man standing before him was innocent. I say, I find no fault in Him. Have you ever examined Him? Have you examined His word? Have you examined His person? Have you read about Him? Have you ever got on your knees and prayed about Him? Have you ever talked to the Lord about Him? Have you ever asked that almighty being to reveal to you who He is? Why don't you do that sometime and go in a hole, shut the door, turn the lights out, get alone with God and say, who is the man Christ Jesus? And you'd be surprised at what He said. Peter said, to whom shall we go? Thou hast the words of eternal life, and we believe and are sure that Thou art the Christ, the Son of the living God. Amen. And I say as Peter did, I totally agree with everything that he said. He said, to whom shall we go? Maybe you could go to science. Science falsely so called. Some of you have hung your soul and your eternity on a lie. You've been taught that you evolved from nothing and there's no purpose in you being here. And you were taught a monumental lie by a monumental liar. And my friend, the more I dig into it, the more lies I expose to the doctrine of evolution. By the way, my friend, make no mistake about it. If you are an evolutionist, that's your religion. It's not based on science. It's based on blind faith. Go to culture, you say. Peter said, to whom shall we go? Well, you can go to culture, but if you go to culture, you'll go to the sewer because you live in a sewer. American culture is as rotten as it can be. You say, preacher, how do you expect to keep a crowd? By telling them that where they live is filthy and rotten, because I want people to listen to the truth and agree to the truth. And if you want to live a lie, you can live a lie. But you know as well as I do that most of the marriages in this house right now, 5 years from now, probably won't even be together. And the one that you're married to now is probably your third or your fourth wife. And my friend, this whole nation is coming apart. Nobody believes anything anymore. There's no morality. There's no guidelines. There's nothing right. There's nothing wrong. It's just a huge gray area. And that's the way this country is. And you know it is. Some of you women right now are scared to death that the man you're married to is probably running around on you. And some of you men are chasing women, trying to hide what you're doing. And everything is okay. It's not okay. America's spiraling downward. And my friend, this country's morality is as rotten and filthy filthy as it can be. Amen. Listen, I wasn't born yesterday. I've lived through 3, 4, 5 generations, and I know a change when I see one, and it's not what it used to be. You can run to religion. They'll welcome you with open arms. All the churches in this country swing their doors open wide, and they'll tell you anything you want to hear to make you feel good, but it won't do one thing to help your soul or your relationship with God. Or you can go to self. You can introspect and you'll be searching your soul, your heart, and who you are. Try to better yourself. Fall in love with yourself. Self-betterment, self-aggrandizement, all about self. I'll tell you a little secret today. If you want to make self better, get your eyes off self and lift up Jesus. Look to the one who is able to save your soul. John the Baptist said, "He's the Lamb of God that taketh away the sin of the world." I agree with what John the Baptist said. He said, "He's the Lamb that taketh away the sin of the world." What does that mean, preacher? He taketh away the sin of the world. Let me give you 4 things. He takes away the curse of sin. And the curse of sin is death. And death comes upon all men, for all have sinned. And the only way you can escape the second death is by the Lord Jesus Christ. Amen. Else you'll die in your sins, Jesus said. And where I am, you cannot come. My friend, he took away the power of sin. There are people sitting in this house today that were not worth the powder and lead to blow them to hell, but they got saved. They're not what they used to be. That's past, and I am what I am by the grace of God. Never forget, never forget, never forget. Only by the grace of God you're not going to hell. It's the grace of God, not your good works. You don't deserve it. It's because He's been good to us. The power of sin has been broken. The presence of sin will be made separated from us one day when we put our feet on pure, transparent gold. And then finally, the penalty of sin. John the Baptist said, "The Lamb of God that taketh away the sin of the world." The penalty of sin is eternal damnation and hell fire. You say, "Preacher, do you believe that's real?" My friend, heaven is real. Salvation is real. Christ is real. The Word is real. I'm real. You're real. And hell is real. And you don't want to go there. Paul said to one, he said, "To me to live is Christ, and to die is gain." Paul, listen to me. What did you say? Say it again. Paul said, "To me to live is Christ, and to die is gain." If you understand what that man said, you are head and shoulders above the pack and way out in front of them. Most of the people on this earth live a subhuman existence. They really don't know what life is about. They think it all relates to their flesh. They haven't really understood that your life consisteth not in the abundance of the things that you possess. Man shall not live by bread alone, but by every word that proceedeth out of the mouth of God. In plainer words, until you understand that your spiritual life is far more important than your physical existence, you'll never understand what Paul said. The devil said, or will say, "Thou art Lord, to the glory of God the Father." Can you imagine Satan saying that? Say that he's Lord to the glory of God the Father. Let me ask you a question. Have you said it yet? Have you ever said that he's Lord to the glory of God the Father? Have you ever acknowledged his lordship as Lord to the glory of God the Father? Let me talk about 3 things very carefully. Listen carefully to what I say. He is the creator of the universe. By creator, he simply spoke into existence everything there is. Do you believe that? I believe it. Let there be, and it was. He is the Savior. He went to the cross at Calvary. There they nailed him to the tree, and there he shed his blood for you and for me. 3 in 1, 1 in 3, the man in the middle died for me. He's the one that gave himself that I could be saved. He bought and paid for that title and that honor of Savior. It was not given to him, but Lord. Lord is another thing entirely. Creator by a spoken word. Savior by the sacrifice that he gave. But Lord, why call ye me Lord, Lord, he said. The world is full of those who think they understand what Lord means. We give lip service to Lord. What is Lord, preacher? That means he's the master. That means he's the ruler. That means he's the absolute authority. That means he's the sovereign of the universe. When we bow before him and say, no longer do I trust in my own understanding. When we bow before him and lay our life at his feet and say, Lord, for me to live is Christ. And when we bow before him and say, thus, Lord, speak, for thy servant heareth. When we do that consciously and really becomes our Lord, then we understand what Lord means. Let me tell you how it's going to work. One day when the heavens open and the clouds roll back as a scroll, and the man seated on that white horse comes, he's called the King of Kings, but he's called the Lord of Lords. Let me tell you what that means. That means that when the day does come, and it will come, and that day comes and it's coming, that when this earth, his creatures, see the manifestation of the glory of God, when they see the power and sovereignty of that eternal being that was manifested in flesh, his lordship will literally overrule every king on this earth. And they'll confess, not because they want to, but because they have to, he's Lord. They'll say, this is the one. This is God Almighty. This is the ruler. This is the rightful heir. This is who it was all about to begin with. It's not about us. It's about him, and it's about him giving you the great privilege, the great blessing, and the great honor of knowing him one day. Amen. The devil will say that he's Lord to the glory of God the Father. When he comes in his lordship and manifests his majesty, when he comes with his power exuding in glory, when they look upon that shining one that is brighter than the noonday sun, they'll see him come in power and majesty. And my friend, the book of Revelation, chapter number 19, has something to say about that. Here's what it says in verse 15. And out of his mouth goeth a sharp sword, that with it he should smite the nations, and he shall rule them with a rod of iron. And he treadeth the winepress of the fierceness and wrath of Almighty God. I got to thinking about this. I thought to myself, you know something. Everything that he's ever done for us, he did it simply by his word. All he had to do was say it. He said the word, and worlds came into existence. He spoke the word, and my friend Adam was brought forth from the dust when he planted him with his hands and breathed his word into his nostrils, and he became a living soul. But here the Bible tells us that his word is going to go forth as a sharp two-edged sword. Now if you look over there in the book of Revelation, you'll see quite a comparison. It's quite a remarkable thing. In Revelation chapter number 1 and verse number 16, the Bible says clearly here that he's standing in the midst of the churches of God, and he has a sharp two-edged sword that goes out of his mouth. And the purpose of that sharp two-edged sword that goes out of his mouth is not to smite them. It's not to destroy them. It is simply to chasten them. Because you see, he's chastening his bride. He's getting them ready. He's lifting them to a higher standard. He's telling them that judgment begins first at the house of God. It means that I am your Lord and your master. I'm going to tell you what to do. Now if he has to lay you in a hospital bed, put you in traction to get your ear, he can. If he has to carry you out to a graveyard, and there when everything gets silent and all the well-wishers go home, and you're standing there by yourself out there in that graveyard, and all you hear are the birds singing, he can get your attention. When he finds you in a place where this old world doesn't mean anything anymore, you've lost everything you ever had, anything you ever had, any possessions or any concern for, it just doesn't mean anything to you anymore, he can get your attention. You see, my friend, he can talk to us
in ways nobody else can talk to us. And He'll talk to us. He's Lord. He'll not have you if you won't land, if you won't acknowledge His Lordship. When He chastens you, it's for your own benefit and your own good. We have a tendency to live a hypocritical, duplicitous life. Amen? We have a tendency to say one thing and do another. I'm just being honest with you today. I hate to tell you this, but you're not in a feel-good church. And the reason you're here, because you're sick of feel-good churches. Your feel-good churches don't help you, and you know that. Your feel-good churches don't do anything but pump up your flesh. That's why the music program is all tuned for the flesh. That's why you can leave a feel-good church and walk into a coliseum or into some kind of a place that's as secular as it can be. You won't know the difference. Because it's the same music, same spirit, same everything. But in order to help you, you got to get the truth. And the truth of the matter is, those I love, I chasten. So that sword that goes out of His mouth is a warm sword. It's a welcome sword. It's something that it's a relief when you know that you're not right, and you know that you're not right in the right direction. Yet God said, "Enough, son. I'm not going to let you go any further. I will not let you be condemned with this world." Well, that's that sharp, two-edged sword of revelation. But you see, my friend, it goes further. Later on, it says that with a sharp, two-edged sword that comes out of His mouth, He'll smite the nations. That same sword that brings comfort and healing, because that's what chastening is for, to the believer, brings damnation and destruction. To the unbeliever, it brings judgment and peril to those that don't know the Lord. But I looked at that and I thought to myself, nowhere does it ever say that He ever raises His hand when He comes back. Now, when He comes back to fight the armies of the Antichrist, He doesn't even so much as move a thumb. He doesn't dismount. He doesn't slow up. All He does is send forth that sharp, two-edged sword. That sharp, two-edged sword is the Word of God. You see, my friend, God doesn't take a real sword to His saints. No, 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 no. But that Word is like a sword to His saints. Because if you believe the Bible can cut you and the Bible can heal you. The Bible can open you up and then it can close you up. The Bible can turn the light on and then the Bible can turn the devil off. The Word of God has power in it. It's loaded with power. You think the problem is with the preacher between you and me, but you know better than that. It's not me. I'm just a messenger. You know the real issue between you and God. That's where it's really at. Can you imagine when the Lord Jesus Christ comes back, and He comes back as the King of Kings and the Lord of Lords, that the Antichrist has all his armies gathered? He's got them by the tens of millions. They're all lined up in the Valley of Armageddon. And they're ready to defeat whatever it is that comes out of the heavens. They don't know Him now. They don't know Him then. My friend, they won't know Him unless He tells them who He is. And He will one day. But imagine all of that armor and all of that technology and all of that, all those forces arrayed against Him. And the only thing He uses on them is His Word. That's what it says. Out of His mouth goeth a sharp, two-edged sword, that with it He should smite the nations. You see, the Word is a soothing, healing balm of Gilead right now. It cuts to the heart of a man and reaches inside his soul, and it exposes him for what he is. But the only reason He does that is so He can save him and change him and point him to the Lord Jesus Christ. When the Holy Ghost and the Word of God convicts the sinner, He convicts the sinner to point him to Christ. Every time He does that, if it's ever God talking to you, dear friend, He's talking to you to help you, to heal you, to save you. And He's getting your attention with the Word. But the Word, my friend, doesn't cut you apart. It doesn't send you to, it doesn't destroy you. But when He comes and they come together to smite Him, He smites them. Now, I can't imagine what all that means. If you want to know the truth about it, I'll just kind of open it up for you to let you toss it around in your mind. But what about it when the Word of God starts quoting itself to the Antichrist? What about it when all those armies are arrayed against him and all they hear is the word of God? Then it is a sharp two-edged sword and drives them into confusion, and they smite each other down as they did in the Old Testament. And he can stay the sun and turn it black if he pleases. And he'll fight, and the fight will be won. The fight will be over very quickly. For the word of God was first eternal. Then the word of God was written. Then the word of God became incarnate. And he's now the living word of God. And the word of God will come again. As you've seen me go, he'll come again. Do you believe his word? No, I'm an atheist preacher, or I'm an agnostic, or I'm an evolutionist. Are you really? I can take you to a place. Well, I can tell you about a place. I can't take you there. But I can tell you about a place right now, folks, where nobody's an evolutionist, nobody's an agnostic, nobody's an atheist, nobody's an infidel. They're all believers. But it's too late. Did I say enough to you this morning to make you think, either that guy's crazy or he spoke to me? Did I speak to you? I'm 65 years old. I'll be 66 in September. If I was worried about my job, I wouldn't preach like this. If I thought man put food on my table, I wouldn't do this. If I thought the source of my life and my income was a human being, I wouldn't preach like this. I'm getting up at the age to where, you know, men of my age, they worry about their jobs. But if a man will get up and tell you that, and tell you the truth, and you heard the truth, if he'll tell you that, that means I'm trusting somebody else to feed me, clothe me. And you know something? I'll say as Polycarp did when they tried to get him to recant right before they burned him at the stake. The religious crowd said to Polycarp, he said this back to them. He said, for 80-something years I've served him. He's never failed me. He supplied every need I ever had. He stood by my side. He's been my Lord and my God all these years. He said, I'm not going to turn from him now. Amen. Be honest with you, I don't think I'll ever see 70. I believe he'll be back before then. Are you ready? Father, in Jesus' name, they call his name Jesus, for he shall save his people from their sins. He still saves. If there's somebody in this house this morning, Lord, they heard the ring of the truth. It was clear to them. And they know it's different. They know they need to be saved. We submit them to thy hands, Lord. You're the Savior. I'm not the Savior. You're the Savior. In Jesus' name we pray. And amen. Let's stand up this morning, brother. What do we got?
Page 313 in your all-night insertion.
Won't you come? We do. Yes, we do. We have a friend in him. Because we do not carry. Sing another verse, brother. appreciate you listening to me. I really do. I've done what I'm called to do, and I can't save you. And I don't believe in making you move. That's up to the Holy Spirit. Because I went 27 years before I ever moved. And when God spoke to me and came upon my heart, then I moved. He drew me to Himself. I'll pray for you. I wish the best for you. I'm going to tell you this right now from all of my heart. You're going to walk out of this building today and you're going to walk out into a world of lies. Ask God to show you the truth. The Bible said you'll know the truth, and the truth will do what? Exactly. He said, sanctify them through thy truth. Thy word is truth. Amen. Pontius Pilate said to the Lord Jesus Christ, and he was a relative. He was a pragmatic man. Pilate was. He said to the Lord Jesus Christ, he said, what is truth? See, he wasn't mocking him. He was asking a simple question. What is truth? In other words, is there such a thing as an absolute truth? That's what he meant. You know, what is truth? He didn't say what is the truth. He said, what is truth? How many of you know you've got the truth right here? Amen. Great comfort, folks, in God's word. Amen. Do you want to be anointed with oil this morning, brother?